purified, reading the books of purified intelligence. A purified heart and mind means Krishna consciousness. The Prabhupada ki
jai.
So this afternoon we're gonna have a short part on the leadership management part, and then we get into the distribution and making the devotees. There are three basic types of power, how everything runs in this world. And they are exemplified here in this little presentation, but it's hard to view from the back, so I will have to draw it more clearly. First one, what is this?
Hammer.
Hammer means?
Hammer.
Hammer, force. Get the job done. Okay, this is also called coercive power. This is?
Money.
Money. It stands for? Expedient power. And this is?
Love.
It stands for? Legitimate power. Now, do all these three work?
Yes.
Yes, they all work. And we have all experimented with all these three. Now, question. Which one should we be using? They all work. We've all experimented with them, yes. Microphone, please.
Legitimate power.
Where the remote mics?
This is possible.
Why should we be using legitimate power?
In Krishna consciousness, everyone comes voluntarily for service.
Everybody is serving voluntarily. You're here voluntarily. You could have been at 3 o'clock here. You could have been here at 4 o'clock. You could have not come at all. It is voluntary. Of course you're scared. If you have less than 80% attendance, you will not get certificate. But then again, you might think certificate, if I have it, if I don't have it, my prasadam tastes the same, my chanting tastes the same, so who cares, right? So if there is no legitimate power, if there's no love, if you don't feel that my facilitator loves me, my teacher loves me, my students love me, I love to be here because I'm getting something out of this, then at one point you're not going to be here. Expedient power, money, can we use that? Please.
Even in Krishna consciousness, certain things has to be done only by really money, money power.
There are some people who will only move if money is involved. Otherwise, not going to happen. So we have to pay them. Okay.
There are certain for example, many... some temples are struggling with the number of devotees. And those devotees are far better off preaching. Rather than doing some work on which somebody can be hired to do that job.
Okay. Especially here in India, where manpower, labor is fairly cheap, it's affordable. You'd rather have the devotees engaged in preaching and teaching and let some of the manual labor, some of the grunt work, be done by hired employees. Okay. Other thoughts on the issue?
But money corrupts.
Money may corrupt. Because everybody just will do minimum input, maximum output. Minimum work for maximum reward.
It may take away that concept of unconditional service.
It may take away the concept of unconditional service. Okay? Definitely. Then coercive power. Coercive power works. Remember, all the three work. When do we have to use coercive power?
When the other two doesn't work.
When everything else fails. Argumentum ad baculum. Prabhupada gave the example. When nothing else works, you have to take out the stick. You have to say, as they say in German, Du willst nicht mein Bruder sein, so schlage ich dir den Schädel ein. Which means, if you don't want to be my brother, I take a stick and I beat you over the head. So, but that is the last resort. Why is that the last resort?
The cooperation comes out of course without any involvement.
Cooperation comes because of force, not because of voluntary involvement. Why else? If in the morning somebody would take a stick or a whip, say, okay, brahmacharis, get out there, distribute books. Don't come home. Till you collect it. So and so much left. Which principle and value does this contradict? Long-term vision? What else? Devotee care, what else?
Negative character.
Ideal character, accurate representation, etc., etc., etc. Have we seen this happen in our movement sometimes?
Yes.
Okay. And we have seen the results, we've seen the repercussions. Now if it's a emergency situation, then different measures are taken. The problem is, what is the problem?
It's emergencies all the time.
Emergencies all the time. Emergency becomes the general state of affairs. We start living in emergency mode. And thus, we are constantly either in expedient or coercive mode. Have you ever felt that you have been in coercive or expedient mode to others? Has this ever happened to you? How did it make you feel? Dependent?
Which side of the neck? One who is coercing or one who is receiving? Receiving and
coercing. One is coercing.
Whichever side you're on, both sides are suffering. You know?
Yes.
Because for a devotee, whether you're swinging the stick or you're receiving the stick, it's both suffering. Because it's not really what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, but the crisis is solved. Or at least it's taken care of, where there could have been bigger problem for the center or...
Could have been. But then it might create an even bigger problem in the long run. The next time the people see you, they say, oh, where is the stick? He's going to take out the stick. I remember last time. Huh? So, you solved the problem in the short run. You got your festival done. You collected your money. You done the job. But in the long run, what happens? People don't want to work with you. Relationship breaks down. So, because devotional service is voluntary. So ultimately speaking, if we want to be successful in Krishna consciousness, and if we want to become a proper servant of Srila Prabhupada, we have to get to the level of legitimate power. There's no other way. The other two are simply stopgap, emergency, last resort measures. And they may be used in rare occasions in relations with the outside world. But we should not utilize them amongst our society of devotees. Do you all agree on this, or do you feel that this is not very practical, you know? Because after all, you've got to get the job done.
Yeah,
otherwise we're missing the goal. What's the goal?
One is to
I take out a stick? I mean, after all, you know, Damodar Lila, you know, taking off a stick, finding Krishna.
Yes, if it is with the workers, we can do, but actually if it is devotees, we can't do that.
You heard that? With the workers, we can do that, but with the devotees, we cannot do that. Do you all agree on this? You can take out a stick with the workers, but with the devotees, we cannot take out a stick. Do you agree on that?
Yes.
You do?
You can do.
We are paying for that. It's money paying.
We're paying, so we can expect. We're still paying for using the stick.
But legitimate power always works in, because there are all kinds of devotees, all kinds of people at different levels of maturity, at different levels of inspiration.
Definitely. As there is a saying, Kala Shudra Sambhava, Kali Yuga everybody is Shudra. You know, Shudra, he moves when he sees either stick or carrot. Incentive or stick. Then he moves. Deshkalpatra. Time, place, circumstance. We're discussing here three types of power. Coercive power, expedient power, and legitimate power. And how they interact and how are we supposed to run our Sankirtan movement. Just like, for instance, you might have a scenario in your temple where people will say, yes, I'd like to distribute books, but I want to have percentage. I want to have a cut. Because my job is paying me very less, and I need money, I need income, so can you give me a cut? Can you give me a percentage? What's your reply, all leaders, all managers?
I wouldn't be giving a percentage, I would have given a fixed income to support his family.
Okay, you put him on an allowance, fixed income?
Yeah, not percentage.
Okay, any other solutions? What about the rest of you? You would not deal to which room I will sleep in, what kind of dress I will get. Not all. We're going to preaching program, which vehicle we are taking? Where is the venue? What is the menu? None of these questions. Huh? That is brahmacharya. The day you say no is the day you leave the ashram. That's the way our standard should be. If you can't do that, then you do this. You can't do this, then you do that. You can't do this, well then maybe you better stay outside. You have your own place, you have your own job, and you just come and do service. So for most of the congregation, I would suggest, I would encourage them to stay in their own places, buy some books, not take them on commission, buy some books, and distribute them. Whether they want to be free or they want to sell, it is all up to them. Because it's clear cut, clear expectations. But as soon as somebody wants to do full-time or even part-time on a regular basis, you may have to facilitate this person by giving them some support. Even if they're doing part-time or they're in the congregation out there, you should give them some support. Support, minimal support means books, training, inspiration, places, help with logistics. But then if they're doing it on a regular basis, you may help them in different ways. Prasadam, money for gas, etc., etc. And some may need some allowance because otherwise they can't survive. But the goal should be clear. The goal is pure, unalloyed, unmotivated devotional service. Otherwise, the whole business mentality will creep in. And everybody will say, okay, but you know, this temple president offered me 30%. Why you're only offering me 20%? What's wrong with you? And then you take out your hammer, you know? And where is the law? So But these points are very important that we discuss them, because these issues will come up time and time again. So when your congregation comes and asks these questions, you should be able to explain to them that this is what we're trying to do, that this is what we're striving for. Selfless service. And this is what gives you the greatest benefit. This is what gives you the greatest realization, the greatest taste, the greatest purification. So strive for that. And you know what? People will do whatever you tell them to do. You are a devotee. And they have trust. They believe in devotees. So try for them. And otherwise, you have to adjust. You can always adjust. That is the nature of a leader. The nature of a proper manager is he knows how to adjust in order to facilitate the devotees and the devotees' desire and needs. That is required. So we can't make rules ingrained in stone where we say this is the law and we can't budge this way or that way. Like Srila Prabhupada, he was very strict in the principle, but in the application he was very lenient. That is very important. Same goes for book distribution for preaching. Otherwise the movement will suffer, will be hampered. Now, personal leadership grows out of trustworthiness. To lead others effectively, individual must first be able to lead themselves effectively. As individuals demonstrate trustworthiness, which is a balance of high competence and strong character, other people will begin to trust them as leaders. That's in your leadership handbook, page number 11. Three pillars of trustworthy character. It is comprised of integrity, maturity, and non-envy. I'd like you to read this as your homework for tomorrow. This is the stuff which a real leader is made of. Integrity, maturity, and non-envy. This is the real job. All the other stuff, all the skills, you know, empathic listening, conflict resolution, fourth step cleanup, etc., etc., etc. These are all tools which are nice. They're required. They're good. But they do not make up for a lack in these three categories. Because this is the stuff people are looking for. If you got one of these three or all of them, you have what it takes to be a leader. So this is what we're striving for. This is what we're looking for. This is what we're trying to attain. And how do we attain it? By studying the lives of the Acharyas, by studying the lives of Srila Prabhupada, by studying these qualities, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what's that verse? Non-enviousness? Adeshta Sarvabhutana. Yes, one of your favorite. I know, because he feels strongly about it. Because this is the qualities which Krishna says. If you have this quality, you're dear to Krishna. So by developing these qualities, we can become dear to Krishna. And you know what happens when you're dear to Krishna? You become dear to everyone, to all living entities. Because Krishna is all attractive. So if you attract Krishna, you attract the all attractive, so everybody will be attracted to you. So that is the real art of management and leadership. If people become so attracted to you by your qualities, that they will say, look, whatever it is that you want, I would like to help you in that. Whatever it is that you have, I would like to get a glimpse of that. Can you please show me how it's being done? That is the way of leadership. That is the way. Yes, please.
Sometimes we have a lot of apprehension about discussing about these qualities, simply thinking that it is idealistic and not practical. But unless our whole Krishna consciousness is based on these ideals, we are not going to get anywhere. So this, the conflict between the practicality and the ideals,
Everybody has to very clearly understand. Sometimes I saw devotees, they don't feel very comfortable, you know, talking ideal things. That is what, as you rightly mentioned, Prabhupada never compromised on principles. But when he was dealing with individual devotees, he was very considerate. He was willing to help them to uplift their consciousness. But when it comes to sticking onto the principles, there is absolutely no compromise.
Yes.
So that shouldn't be seen as some kind of utopian idea or something like that. That's what we stand for. Otherwise, there's no point in claiming ourselves as...
Otherwise, what are we doing here? We might as well go home. You see, Srila Prabhupada in his classes, he was very strict. If you see, you listen to Prabhupada's class, you do that sometimes? Bhagavatam Gita class? He didn't budge an inch. Not one inch. He laid it straight down the middle line. And he said, this is how it is. But if you see his letters, his conversations, his darshans, his dealings with individual devotees, he was very accommodating. He was very kind. He was very forgiving. But it's two different things. Because once you sit on a Vyasa-san and you're talking Shastra, this is a different thing than when you're talking individual, one-on-one relationship. Because one thing is theology. One thing is our... How do you explain it? Somebody's got a better word? Yeah, theology. That's the word. You understand theology? The doctrine. This is our tradition. And the other thing is individual time, desha kala patra, practical application, individual time, place, etc. This is very important for us to understand. Because we have, as book distributors, we have to understand this. We are preachers. We cannot compromise our principle. Like so many people will come and ask you, can you do this, can you do that, can you do the other thing? And at one point, you know, sometimes you have to say yes, because you have to do the needful. There's a lack of manpower. But then, you have to have that discussion amongst your management board with, is this the way how our temple is supposed to be run? Should we take all the brahmacharis and send them out for fund collection? Or should we take all the brahmacharis and send them out for constructing the new guest house? Or to do this venture, or to do that venture? Because if you're a brahmachari, you're meant to engage in brahminical activity. What is brahminical activity? Yajan, yajan, patan, patan, dhamma, pratigra. These are the six activities of a Brahmin. Anything else which is not in that jurisdiction, you're not meant to do it, factually speaking. Now we know we're a young movement, and sometimes we're far from ideals. But unless we have ideals, we never got to get there. And if we compromise our ideals, then we lose everything. Not only do we lose our credibility and the respect of the people, but what's even worse is we lose our self-respect. And once we have lost the self-respect, once we have lost believing in ourselves, we've lost everything. It's all gone. Then it's one day like this, one day like that, next day like this, then like that. And nobody will know, okay, what's the flavor of the day? Oh, we don't know, we have to ask the big guy. Whatever is in his mind today. That's how he's going to be. Not many people will like to be in such a situation. Because people are looking for dependability and reliability. If you're just able to provide two times a day sufficient quantity of decent prasada, you will have manpower in your place. Guaranteed. Money back guaranteed. If you just have a morning program which is enlivening with kirtans and bhagavatam class, you will have manpower in your place. Guaranteed. Money back guaranteed. If you're sensible and you sit down with the people and you ask them, what is it that you would like to do for Krishna? And what do you need in order to do that? You will have manpower, guaranteed. Now why is it that in some places we don't have anybody? Why is it that we have centers in our movement with more personalities on the altar than personalities in the temple? You think it's a joke, but it's a reality. It's a reality. Where you can score not a century, but a hat trick. You know what a hat trick is? You sing Mangal Arati, Nisinga Prayer, and Tulsi Puja all by yourself while playing cartels and Mridanga and doing Arati. You think it's funny? I have been to many such places. It is not very funny. It's quite scary because Krishna is looking at you with that look on his face. What are you guys doing here? You know? You call me to be here and now, you know, it's like I'm by myself. It's kind of lonely up here, you know? I mean, where is the reciprocation? But that all comes because we have neglected this. And where you have a leader which has integrity, maturity, and non-envy, you will have people who are very happy to follow that leader. And if those qualities are not present, then everybody is screaming and shouting, revolution, power to the people, boards, committees, democracy, women liberation, this, that, and the other thing. And wherever you have a leader who has these qualities, everybody is very happy following. So, I'd like you to study this, learn them by heart, start imbibing, emulating. How you do that? By following the leader. I'd like to move on here, because the desire was expressed that we break early tomorrow. So we are continuing on book distribution and making devotees. Because we have a lot of plans, we have a lot of projects, we have a lot of ideas, a lot of things which we want to do. And that requires manpower. Manpower includes ladies too, which just means men counting. So, how do you make devotees? Like I talked to Revati Raman Prabhu this morning, when he showed me the Goshalas. How did you get your brahmacharis? How did your four book distributors turn up here? I mean, it's not that one day they came up with a van and said, here we are, we already have a nice temple. Can we stay here and go off to the book distributors? And he told me that most of them came from book distributors. They came to the stalls and bought a book. And because they liked the exchange and the interaction, next year they came back and they talked to the devotees. And then they saw, hey, these people like me, and I like these people, so I'd like to stay, you know, if it's possible, can I stay? So, making new devotees is whose job? Isn't it Guru's job? I mean, he wants to initiate. Exactly. So it's his business. No?
Those are dealing with
others.
Those are dealing with others. But I'm not dealing with others. So it's not my job.
Everyone's.
The leader. Who else?
Everyone's.
Everyone's. Any other ideas?
It's a mission.
It's our mission. So that starts with our outreach people. Those of us who are out there, which means practically everybody, because we're all out there at one point in time, whether you're doing books or you're managing or you're organizing or moving about, everybody's in contact with people. And you see the potential while you're distributing. Now we can just read these through, but it's kind of redundant because you can read it and you have it in your student handbook. I'd rather hear some realization from some of our preachers, book distributors, in let us know, share it with the group. There's got to be a system where every interested person you take, you should have standardized cards. You have that? standardized cards where you mark name and address, which book they have taken, what their interest is. So you can just make little crosses. Do you have that? Is it possible to print that? Cards for interested people, so that all preachers, all book distributors have those cards, and instead of just, you know, scribbling something on a receipt or on a bus stamp ticket, you know, on the back, in very illegible. Have you ever had the experience you couldn't even read your own handwriting? And you lost some contact because of that? It's kind of stupid, isn't it? But it happens, you know? Write on your hand, yeah, then you wash your hand and it's gone. So you have standardized cards, you fill them in, then when you get home, you go to the office, to the person who is doing the database management. Every temple should have one person who does the database management. And they enter that information, either on a daily or on a weekly basis, minimum weekly. And then these people are followed up. They get invitations, etc., etc., etc. But what I found was the most powerful thing is if the person who they met, the person who they know, the person who they trust, calls them up a couple of days later or sends them an SMS or an email message saying, thank you very much for your time, for taking this book, for giving a donation. I hope you like it. If there's anything else which you would like me to do, please feel free to ask anytime. Any question you got. So that puts the ball in their court. You understand that expression? So you put the ball in their court. Not, oh, hey, he has the book, you know, if he wants something, he knows we're here. And not only that, but you pray to Radha Govinda, please let this person take up devotional service. By the prayers of the devotees, it will happen. How many here had experiences like that? That devotees came to the movement because of your intense prayers? It happens. Because by the prayers of the devotees come. Somebody would like to share something with the group in this regard? Yes, please.
I used to visit Coimbatore in this contest. Their devotees analyzed my situation, but somehow that they decided me. Somehow he became protective. By their prayer, because I didn't hand over much to the doctor, but their prayer and their treatment, I didn't go
there. Yes.
So in Hosu, you want to start a mass congregation preaching program and also temple projects also coming up so that I need a lot of support from particularly young youth. So that I was praying and I was anchoring, looking, searching the devotees. In that way, I got two members. So one is doing his business and another one is working in outside. So I used to pray with our ladies, Gauri and Nashimre. Then I went to them, I spoke with them, I explained the situation, how we can lead our life, everything. Then they accepted, by myself, Gauri Thai. So both are here. This is Buddha Achyutagrup, secretary, who is having business. And now he is here.
Hare Vahav!
And many are like that. Now we have 13 devotees, full-time devotees, helping in good healthy conditions going on our preaching program.
Jai! So So you can see, this is not artificial. This is not, okay, you're going to make 10 bhaktas, you're going to bring 50 people. This is just you desire, and the Lord responds to your desire. It's very natural. It is nice. Now, when you invite people to the Sunday feast or to other programs, I think it's very important that the person who invites them is also there at that program. Because they will be looking for you. Because that you're the person, you know and who they trust, who they feel familiar with. So, we had a point like that, and even though you might be a full-time book distributor, on Sunday, you should participate in the Sunday program. To be there. Not only for the people who you have given the books to, but for all the other guests. Because you have that mood, that spirit. So you can relate with the guests, especially with the younger section of society or the people who are, you know, ready to take up devotional service. So I very much encourage that the book distributors who are doing book distribution full-time take a couple of hours to participate in the Sunday Feast program and engage in the preaching. Especially once the guests sit down and take prasada, you know, the one-on-one interaction. Because that's where the crunch, you know, that's where the real interaction happens. Are you doing like that here?
Yes.
Tirupati?
Yes.
Happening. Good results? Good results. Most of the congregation comes from the Sunday program. The Prabhupada started this movement, Sunday Love Feast. He cooked for them, he served them, he talked to them, he listened to them, and they just stayed. That's how the whole movement started. Mm. Temple devotees are from book tables, and the congregation is from the Sunday Feast program. So if you want to get full-time devotees to join, do book distribution and have book tables. If you want to build your congregation, have a very powerful Sunday program. Very good. Consider visiting genuinely interested people in their own homes. How often do we hear this? How many traveling preachers do we have in our movement? We're going out to visit those contacts, you know, out in the field, in their homes, to do the home programs. Very much required. It's a big need. It's a big lack in our movement. We have the sannyasis, the gurus, you know, those people, they go to a few places. But there is a big need of having hundreds and hundreds of preachers who are able to give the message of Mahaprabhu and who can go to somebody's home and hold a home program. Somebody of you has done that, who has experience of that, doing such programs, please tell us of your experiences.
Actually, when we go out and make out the life patterns, slowly we try to introduce about Prabhupada. So though they come out for the hard and many days they can part for Krishna in the beginning, slowly they come to know about how our activities are carried out, what the related principles we follow, and how the purity is the goal of our life. Then they also start slowly taking up the process. And then they start following the related principles, start taking up the chanting. That begins with the chanting, actually. It doesn't chant at least one mala a day. And then slowly, by interacting, we try to make them increase the number of rounds. Once they reach the scale of 4 or 6 malas, then we start talking about the related principles. Slowly included the rules and regulations. And ultimately, they start visiting the temple regularly, for Sunday feast programs. They interact with like-minded people in their congregation who are also working outside, like temple and things like that. And by the association, they get more and more interested and involved in the service of Krishna. And then they start volunteering the services for the festivals. And ultimately, a point comes where they try to spend more time in the temple and services of the temple. And there are few devotees who join us full time also in the process. And one of the, he was just a person in distress.
Lots of water wear away the stone. So You might say this is only 5 books, but I'm saying steady drops of water, they wear away the stone. Have you ever seen in the riverbed this huge stone, like size of this, you know, size of this room, but there is a big dent in it because the water goes there on a constant basis, and it wears away on the stone. So even though the hearts of the materialists may be stone-like, you know, once people come by 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, bringing nice sweets, talking nicely, smiling, bringing books, all of a sudden the heart becomes soft, you know, and they start opening up, they start opening their heart to the devotees. So that's what's going to happen eventually. So I'm very encouraged to hear all these different realizations. Now, what we just did is called the Sankirtan meeting. People just gather together and share their realization. What it means to be Krishna conscious, how to spread Krishna consciousness, how to be fixed up in the mission of Prabhupada. So this should be done on a regular basis. Because it's very lively, it's very inspiring to hear from the devotees their realizations. So please do that regularly. And in this way, everybody will get the courage to go out and participate. And never underestimate small drops of water wear away the stone. Okay. Vedic principles, learn skills and techniques. Did you learn some skills and techniques on how to distribute books?
Yeah.
Okay. Then, guide the skills and techniques. Sounds like pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Want to learn and help? Teach more about book distribution. That's all what we're doing. Learn how to do book distribution. Each house get a book and holy name. Did you do that? Did you give a book to every house?
No.
Good plan. Good plan.
So that's your homework. For tomorrow.
Okay.
That's your homework till the next time I come. You gotta give one book to every house in your city. That was our move, you know, in Switzerland. We have 7 million people, out of which 5 million German speaking, 2 million French speaking, and 250,000 Italian speaking. 7 million people. We've distributed 2 million hardcover Mahabhagavata books. Practically speaking, in most of the houses you go to, there is one of Prabhupada's books in their libraries. At one point in the late 80s, early 90s, we went door to door between single year in certain areas to maximum and minimum every 2 years. We went every door in the country, door to door, every door. Just going door to door, every village, every city, every area. So there is tremendous scope for book distribution. Once, you know, we have explored all the stalls and all that, we can send teams door to door, like Lord Nityananda, Haridas Thakur. You go knocking on people's doors. Vaja Krishna, Vola Krishna, Koro Krishna Shika. You please chant Hare Krishna. Worship Krishna, surrender your life to Him. That is the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is what has to be done. So only time is separating us from that. Already now it has started. So I would suggest that these devotees work the same areas on a regular basis. Not always go new places, but work the same areas and cultivate people. Cultivate them. And in this way, many devotees will come forward. And they also, at one point, will go out and will start distributing. And in this way, it will spread.
So can you do this fine exercise? Each house we call a different coordinate.
Yes.
Just three, first 4 months this we started,
people say, oh, we don't like this. Why is this going on? This may be, you know, material motivation. But I think the same personalist philosophy is, you know, our tradition is to worship the Sankirtan devotees. Like even when you have the Sankirtan party, they come with Vridanga and Kartals. The people in the villages still, when you do that, they come out and they pour their rota. They try to get it on your feet, but at least in front of you, like that. They bring baskets with fruits, they bring gifts. One time I was in America and our car broke down. And we couldn't move. We had to get it towed to a car dealer. You know, tow truck came and towed it. So we just checked into the motel across the road. Stayed there. The next morning I got up and went out chanting. And then I saw one old Indian lady who was sorry, picking flowers and this plant looked like tulsi. So, and she saw me chanting. Then I went back to the room. Half hour later, they knock on the room. They come with a tray with halwa, hot milk, and the money which we paid for the room. And the owner of the motel came and said, we're really sorry. We really feel bad. We didn't know that you're devotees and that we charge you money for the room. We feel so bad. Please forgive our offenses, you know, for doing that. And please accept, you know, this prasadam. So they were very happy. So this is very much the culture. So to not allow devotees to be worshipped, to be recognized, to receive honors and praises is very much against our culture. But we gotta make sure that it's within the realm of reason, meaning within the realm of sanity. Sometimes there is elaborate festivals and arrangements, I remember, which might go slightly over the top. And some people will feel that this is too much. So there has to be a spirit of, what's the right word? Should be sanity, you know? Should be kept within, how do you want to explain this?
Should be rational. Should be rational.
Should be rational.
Reasonable.
Yeah, within rational. Because sometimes in the name of glorifying, we actually insult. Like if something is too extravagant or too inappropriate, then we tend to offend or to insult that person. Like that. Because not the mood, the spirit is the devotee just wants to serve. He just wants to please. He's not looking for that, you know, glorification or that gift, like that. Or else it might become mundane, that some may think, oh yeah, let's just do this and then we get the price, and first price is go here, go there, get an airplane ticket, like that. I feel we should strive for, you know, purity, but at the same time it's our duty to show appreciation, to give gifts, to show rewards, to show gratefulness, and to glorify the Lord. Please.
Can you do glorification of devotees on an individual level, etc., etc.? Not on huge gatherings and then big garlands and big. Then it creates a kind of culture, wrong culture. Either the devotees who are participating in book distribution every time they expect that kind of thing.
And the others feel,
and
like,
feel that they are let down.
Yeah, less so.
Left out. So instead of doing such huge, big gathering kinds of things, regular glorification and a small meetings type like Sankirtan, Ishtagoshti can happen, and then the leader of the Yatra can come and then glorify the devotees. That's much more encouraging and then healthy than these external shows of.
And after the marathon, give prizes to everybody who helped.
Yeah.
To the drivers, yeah. To the cooks, to everybody. So they all feel we're part of the endeavor, we're part of the family, we're part of the movement. Like that. Yes?
Hare Krishna. In regard to this, I want to share one. Is that we had the last just marathon that we had in our village. We were having the seven new bhaktas with us and two team leaders. And in 23 days, we distributed 20,000 Bhagavad Gita around the area in Aberdeen. This appreciation and a gift to share that from our authorities, at the end of the last day of marathon, we had a big feast for everyone, for including everyone, that you say the drivers, the cooks and other, the congregation members come and they cook feast for all the devotees on that day. We were having the one full day off. Somehow we managed with those services. And then after the prasadam, we had the realization sessions with all the devotees. We shared all our experiences with each other. And then there are three kind of like authority. The first one, that is one who has some people under there, like two, three people. They give the what they are really needed, you know, like very personal things that was a devotee needed. It was heart touch thing. And after that, the devotees and some people who are under them, they give some personal gift to them in that way. So it's created such a powerful and influential mood. That is, all these devotees have said that next year we will go for a 40,000 Gita. If we
Anyone else like to share something about the prices, glorification, gifts, etc.?
This what you want to what you want to do means full surrender. Are you ready for this? Let us say we will see.
You understand?
People in the congregation to donate towards book distribution. Everyone likes to do something as a welfare activity, and when we give them the opportunity to distribute books or contribute if they can't go out on book distribution, then that also brings out their spirit of Sankirtan and spreading mercy to others. Hare Krishna. Just be the very center of book distribution, but we should expand outward and encourage devotees who are living outside the temple to set up their homes as centers for book distribution also. The idea of home-based book distribution is to give easy facility for all kinds of people living outside the temple to organize themselves by getting books wholesale, encouraging them to share the infrastructure of the temple so that they can develop a system to go out and distribute books and even make a profit if they need to from it. If you do that, then it will give people job opportunities who are outside. They need to make some income, but they want to have devotional service. And if you train them properly, give them the right parameters and give them enough license to go out and do it, then it will increase all over. And you have to make it available. You have to package it in such a way that it's easy for people to take it. So it's a turnkey operation. You set it up so you can hand them a folder and say, here's the folder. It tells you everything you need to know about how to start your own home-based book distribution program. And there are literally dozens, maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of devotees, householders living outside who want to do book distribution, and will either do it part-time or full-time if you give them the facility. We have a website, distributebooks.com, and on that website there's a list for alternative methods of book distribution. There are now dozens of alternative methods, many more than the categories I've just mentioned, many different ways that people can distribute books. And if you allow people and you encourage people to take the books and emphasize this point, that this is our family business. Our family business at ISKCON is book distribution. Our movement is based on books. Prabhupada based his all of his movement on books. And we should also do the same thing, because it's a solid basis.
Vaisheshika Prabhu, then of ISKCON Silicon Valley, they have about 200 devotees in their congregation. In the marathon, monthly Sankirtan festival, there's about 150 of them who go out to distribute books. But they have like Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day or disappearance day. The last one, they went out in Saturday, Sunday, in one weekend. They distributed 8,000 books.
And
collected 10 lakh rupees. Almost $20,000. 10 lakh rupees. In a Saturday, Sunday. just by everybody doing a little bit, each and every one doing a little bit. So the mood is, you have your 200 brahmacharis, but you also have your 2,000 congregational members, and each one does a little bit, and together will make a huge impact. So he's doing that program.
Very powerful is the full sets of Srila Prabhupada's books. He wrote those full sets and painstakingly put them together with beautiful artwork so that everyone could have a full set in their home and learn to use it for their reference and spiritual life and take shelter of those books every day. The best way to do it is just make them available. Take those sets out of the book room. Make them a center point of your temple. And make them available to people so that they can buy them. And as soon as you do, they'll start to buy them. Follow up with an installation program by going to their home and doing an artique for the books and giving a little talk and showing people how just by reading a paragraph each and passing it around the room, everyone will feel the power and the magic of reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita together. And they'll continue the process. And this is how our Krishna consciousness movement will spread, with books as the basis. Very successful in Los Angeles. Mahatma Prabhu has started Shastradhan Los Angeles. An extra, just from the Shastradhan program in Los Angeles, they do from $25,000 to $30,000 extra a year from his one program. He's also showed that it could be done other places because he branched out and did it in San Diego. The Shastradhan program is so compelling because there are many, many people who have a great sympathy for book distribution who aren't donating anything anyway. But when they have a person that they trust, that they know is getting Prabhupada's books out in a very effective, systematic way, they'll come forward on a regular basis. They'll want to give their money. They have just people with a lot of spiritual intelligence, but they just don't have faith in where to put their money. But they will put it into books. And so if you set up a Shastradhan program where someone is the figurehead who will stay there and cultivate people and show them how to give their money and then show them where they're placing the books. Any community can do this and increase. Now, we only have a couple places, maybe two or three places that are doing this in North America. If every temple set up just the Shastradhan program, that would be a huge increase. If every temple just did an incremental increase in how they presented the books at the Sunday feast and on a regular basis when people aren't there as a vended table, a vending table, where it's all automatic, where people knew exactly what to do when they walked up to the table by seeing the box, the sign, the envelopes, the books labeled perfectly, everything in place, then that would be a very good incremental increase. The devotees there have a system during the Sunday feast where they always set up a book table next to the speaker who's giving the Sunday feast lecture. And in Philadelphia, we did this. Rabindra Swarup Prabhu took out all the Sri Upanishads and put them in the front foyer, and he and his wife stood there. And then the person gave the lecture and then mentioned about the Sri Upanishad. And everyone afterwards, knowing that Rabindra and his wife were outside of the Sri Upanishad, went outside and bought a Sri Upanishad from them. And if they had stayed inside the book room, how many Sri Upanishads would have been sold that day? None. But because they brought them out and showed them, they all went, and because they brought attention and focus with them. So that's one very important place, is our temples. Book tables that are prominent, that are well organized, that are very clearly marked, you know, how to take the books, and then also offering them to people so they can buy them in bunches like bananas. Always sell them in bunches. You can sell them in sets and different types of packages that you can offer to people.
Can you get that point?
I think one of the best programs for the future in America, because it's based on the principle of a lot of people each doing a little bit, and that's a really good bet. Here at San Jose, East on Silicon Valley, we have used this principle of everyone cooperating and counting everyone's service towards the big push once a month for the monthly Sankirtan festival. And devotees really get a taste for Sankirtan. Everyone can go out without any pressure and just give out the mercy, give out prasadam, distribute books, collect what Lakshmi they can by emphasizing leaving each person with a good impression. And there's a whole scheme for organizing the monthly Sankirtan festival. There's a step-by-step guide that we have made that anyone can follow and organize their temple. And it starts small and it works its way up, and everyone feels like they want to be a part of it once the Sankirtan festival starts. Once a month, 3 days, a Friday night, all day Saturday and all day Sunday, once a month, based around some of the holy days. And you really do create a spirit in the community where people are out there in public meeting people, and that's where the magic happens. When they're out in Sankirtan and they're meeting people for the first time, they get to see firsthand how Lord Chaitanya is controlling that energy that goes on in Sankirtan, sending new people, making miracles happen. And we've seen over and over again that the new people who go out from our congregation and get started with the idea of spreading mercy to others and doing the Sankirtan, they become extremely strong and have a great foundation in Krishna consciousness. This is the future of our book distribution in America, involving the entire congregation, not just a few devotees going out for book distribution, but everyone can have a part in it and go out and meet people. It involves legal spots, safe places where people like to take out their families. It involves door-to-door, which is the nicest kind of Sankirtan there is, where you're meeting people in their homes, where they're happy to meet you, they're happy to take books, and you can go with the whole family. There are groups of devotees in the community, householders particularly, who are extremely interested in doing book distribution, but feel they can't do book distribution because book distribution is some hard, difficult thing that you have to go out on the street and you gotta do it full time and you have to suffer cold showers and root canals. But actually, when they see that there's an opportunity for everyone to do book distribution, meaning you can create a festival atmosphere where the kids can come along, where you can bring all your friends and you can have fun. It's called Sankirtan Party. The party is going on out there, and if you create a party atmosphere, a mini festival, that's the idea. Because what happens with a mini festival, which all it requires is the holy name, some type of infrastructure like a simple table or something attractive. So what I'm finding is that devotees, when they're given the opportunity to have a stage and a forum that's legal, where they feel comfortable, where they feel they're making a nice presentation to the public, they'll come out and they'll want to participate. And then when they see how interested people are, that they come over to the table, that they want to know more about what we're doing, that they want to buy books, that they want to become involved, etc., etc., they become enlivened and they bring that happen. They bring that atmosphere back to the temple, and that's what makes the temple exciting. Yeah. Is the devotees who are going out and seeing for themselves the miracle of how everyone is interested in Krishna consciousness, or a great number of people are, or the right people are, and that they're coming over and they're becoming enlivened by seeing our presentation. So this is Weekend Warriors. It's just a phrase which means organize your congregation in such a way to give everyone an opportunity to go out in public and offer books, the holy name, and prasadam to people in compelling ways. We're finding a lot of stores give permission to just set up a table right outside and sometimes inside the store so that you can sell books right there. One devotee in Washington, D.C., Bhakti Steve, he got permission to go right inside order books and have bhajan and set up a display of Prabhupada's books. Many alternative stores, Indian stores, restaurants, there's all kinds of places where you can set up a booth and have bhajan, you can have book display, all types of things. And you meet people, you sell books, and everyone goes home happy. Even the kids love it. They can come and have fun as well. I've got these types of programs.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
There we go.
This is Vaisheshika.